Valvag could be better defined.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Steve Newell.
Greetings.
How's it going?
Pretty good, thanks. I'm not dropping my lunch everywhere.
Yeah, it's terrible for me. Don't ask me how it's going right now.
You've just dropped all your stuff all over the floor.
Yeah, records and CDs.
An apple. And a little some protractor.
Matches. Some matches here.
Oh, yeah.
Was that allowed? A
couple of matches. No.
Shit.
Put it away, please.
Probably good few props for a movie, perhaps. Mm.
Well, yes, doing some magic tricks later. Have you got your thumb in your matchbox there? Is that what's going on?
It was kind of like in a movie.
Steve, what's happening in the world of cinema and streaming?
That's a very good question. Now, I have seen some things that are these movies of which you speak, and if I was going to sit down and try and think of all the things that go into a movie, definitely some props would be one of those things.
People.
If I was the noted musician and comic book empire creator Glenn Danzig, I'd probably have written down quite a list of like things that go into movies. Mm. But as we see with his directorial debut film Verotica, it's a portmanteau of violence and erotica smushed together.
Does he wear white paint? He's so white, eh?
He's pretty pale, but
he
hangs out in his library reading his books instead of going out in the sun.
Steve, do we take phone calls during this?
Yeah,
segment?
We can take a call. Yeah, hello, is it Glenn? Hello, Glenn.
Yeah, word up there, Vim.
Word up.
Thank you very much for being so strong about the alternative point of view.
Kia ora, mate. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I hope that it never fails us, because it's the last thing we've got left.
Have you got some classic rock in the background? Sounds like you got some classic rock in the background that rocks.
You go hard as. Take care of your living.
You're the boss,
cheers,
man.
Cheers, brother.
All right. Doodle bip to you.
Thanks, Glenn Danzig. That was we didn't get the chance to ask him any questions about his film, but
it sounded like Budgie.
I'm not sure.
It was cool.
It wasn't our voices, was it? So that's a bit, that's concerning.
Playing some Saxon.
But he knew where he was calling. It wasn't.
Anyway, Glenn's film, it's an anthology horror. It is completely ineptly made. He doesn't understand how to put the elements together that make a movie. He knows all the things that go in the movie.
Bless him,
but he doesn't know how to... It's this fascinating film. It releases on Shudder here, the horror streaming service, from tomorrow. I can't recommend this enough. If you like things like, John, like your favourite movie, The Room,
I was
going to
say,
instance.
The real mystery is, will John watch this movie?
Now, this film, he premiered it in front of a horror and sci-fi festival audience last year, and people went out of the sense of morbid fascination to see what he'd made. As you'd expect from the way we've described it, they kind of laughed all the way through it. He came out and
was he in the room?
He came out and did a Q&A afterwards. And apparently one of the things he said was... you guys laughed in a lot of places that I wouldn't have, but that's cool.
Oh, cool, as in.
I would expect, you know, he's been in the Misfits. He's done some great songs as Danzig.
He's got that, Glenn Danzig's got that band Danzig, of course. He does the score for this film. He does
the saving grace.
He does the writing of this film, and he does the directing of this film.
Acting?
No acting. No acting. But he's got a bunch of people, he's got a bunch of human beings saying words in the film. But I'm not sure they're really actors either. He really throws them under the bus. The first of the three stories that make up this anthology is set for some reason in France. So all these people that can't act are also required to do French accents. And it's kind of torturous. But you know that it's only because he doesn't know what he's doing. He's not actually torturing his cast. This one, I think you'd struggle to watch it by yourself because it doesn't really function as a film. But if you can get a couple of mates together and get a bit of a altered headspace late night viewing, you'll get some cackles out of this one. For sure.
Translation, you need Dak to make this movie, okay.
That's
pretty much what you just said.
Yes, maybe, potentially. Put this on your post-referendum watching list, maybe.
Celebration.
One other thing I'll say is that this film...
How long is it?
Oh, it's like 90-ish minutes, but
easy.
It feels a bit longer, a little bit longer.
Understood.
That's not a good sign.
What this film features, I think he thinks that no one has, maybe no one's ever been to a strip club before, or no one has ever filmed women dancing on stage before, because there's this protracted scene of dancers, but there's absolutely nothing interesting about it whatsoever. It's just like, fuck, how long is this going to go? Oh, no, more dancing. Okay. Oh, you don't look into it. Oh, the movie's not into it. Are we supposed to not be into it? There's many, many questions.
Is it worse than the room sex scenes?
If Glenn Danzig was in this film,
yeah,
he would have a sex scene in this film.
That's why I thought it was rivaling, like the room, because those dudes like rival each other for paleness.
So the film's doing the rounds. I think a little bit like the room.
They kind of look the same.
Yeah, right. They're vampires.
They do look a little bit the same. Strange wizened men who pretend to be younger than they are.
So it's a trilogy of room prequels.
Kind of is. There's one movie. The first story, it's about a woman who, just don't interrupt and ask any questions in this part, right? It's about a woman who has eyes on the end of her boobs where her nipples should be, that cry tears that land on a spider, and then the spider transforms into a creature that represents her subconscious. That's story number
that's
one.
Great.
What's the movie called, by the way?
It's called Verotica.
Okay.
V-E-R-V-E-R.
Is there someone called Veronica in the movie?
I-K-A. It's the name of his comics company. It's kind of strung together with a, you know, like Creepshow has a host that kind of links them together, or Tales from the Crypt. It's got one of those, but it's kind of like, I think it's a porn actress rather than like a mummified creature. Mm-hmm. The second story is about a serial killer that takes women's faces, chops their faces off. Mm. And the third one is about a historical countess who bathes in blood.
Classic. Mm.
Anyway, have a ball if a bad movie is your thing. The other thing I watched this week was the Emmy Awards. I'll just quickly mention this because I had a really good time watching them. TV award shows are kind of boring, let's face it. Like, they go on for a really long time. And it kind of just becomes a procession of people coming up to the stage and doing speeches and, you know, trying to pretend in front of their peers that they're really surprised to
thanks,
have won an
Harvey.
Award. And,
thank you.
Oh, a lot of thanks. Yeah, there used to be a lot of thanks, Harveys.
Yeah, man.
The Emmys this year took place in the Staples Center, like a massive venue, but it had no audience and it had almost no other people there. So
they used the 2.5 million laugh track?
They used B-roll from another award show.
They should have piled them all together. A howling beast.
It worked really well. So Jimmy Kimmel was the host. He opened up with a monologue. They cut B-roll into the monologue, so it looked like he was doing the show in front of an audience. Mm. And then they revealed that actually there's no one there. They actually had almost all of the nominees for the whole show on effectively Zoom calls or remote cameras at the same time.
Right.
So at one stage he walks into a little part of the production where they've got this massive screen behind him that's like tiled with like 80 plus people all like waving down the camera. It meant that when people won awards, they weren't such dicks because they were sort of sitting in their lounges with their friends or family.
A bit more humble.
And yeah, just a bit more normal. And I think because it lacked this architecture of having a big show, the gag writers sort of had to do a bit more work. You can check it out online, check out the best bits. Some of the winner speeches were good. Kimmel's monologue's pretty good.
That Jimmy, when you said Jimmy Kimmel, I think I watched like it was a reading of Fast Times of Ridgemont High with like, is he in it? And he plays like all the other people.
Yeah, he's like the bit guy. He's good.
It's so good. That whole thing is so good. I started out real tentative. The cast is insane. And Shia LaBeouf is insane in the
LaBeouf is just
it's like LaBeouf's sweaty and weird. So it's so good though. It's worth a watch, man. They just do like good bits from that movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
This sounds ridiculous, but it's condensed to an hour. I think they might have lost some of the video. But also table reads kind of take a bit too long anyway, right?
Because it's fascinating to me.
Reading all the screen directions for a film takes a lot longer than showing them on screen. Morgan Freeman was the narrator. He was great.
Yeah. Oh, it's so star-studded.
Because Fast Times at Ridgemont High's screenplay, it's from 1982, so don't judge, has a lot of
Sean Penn's
narration comments about the shape of women's bodies.
Right.
And things that
And things evocative. That
the voice of God finds himself having some trouble describing.
It's funny though, man.
But good. Yeah, the cast is great. Julie Roberts is awesome. You get to see Brad and Jen have a bit of a...
That's nice and awkward.
Bit of a to and fro.
Yeah.
But Shia LaBeouf, so everyone else is in their houses. They've got their nice Zoom setups.
So good. No, Shia LaBeouf's in a car.
He's in a car in his garage.
That's so good.
He's smoking an enormous doobie.
Yeah, big time.
And he also has earbuds in, just rocking out to music.
I think Sean Penn smoked a joint as well.
I think Sean Penn was looking at LaBeouf.
Was he in the original movie? Bit,
yeah, he played he played Spicoli, so he was watching LaBeouf going...
He was cracking up.
Yeah. I see. Doing my part. All right.
It was good. It's a great watch, though. You should definitely check it out.
As you know how you sort of fixate on people's Zoom backgrounds or what you can see in the rear of shot? I felt really sorry for Julie Roberts because she had a nicely hung... like a painting or a memento on her wall, and there's a little ding in one part of the frame. I was like, oh, you won't be happy about that.
Ooh, probably one of the kids.
I reckon, yeah, maybe the movers.
What's that called? How would you find that? What would you call it?
I think you just Google Fast Times table read. Okay. Dane Cook was the dude that put it together. He looks pretty weird now. He's had a bit of work done.
On YouTube or something?
Yeah, on YouTube, yeah.
Someone's got four of those comics from the mid-90s, by the way.
Well,
old Matt
do any of those feature the... the boob tear spider, the face chopper serial killer, or the countess bathing in blood? Let's find out.
Let us know.
Anyway, shudder.com. You can watch Veronica from tomorrow. I think they do a free trial, so if you wanted to just jump in and do that and fuck off, you
free
could.
Is spot on. Man.
But
love
what
free.
I'm getting is the table read of Fast Times at Ridgemont High is the best thing to watch at the moment, and you can find it on YouTube.
I would watch it. Yeah, I was surprised. I wanted
it's pretty
to
good. It's
not
pretty
like
good.
It, and yep. I was like, wow, it's good.
Yep.
Massive stars. So it's kind of funny. You know,
it very much helps if you're familiar with the original film. But I think, you know, if you've got time to put your feet up, I watched it in bed on Saturday morning. It was pretty chill. So yeah,
Kapai.
There you go.
Thank you, Steve.
Bye bye.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.